Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
It's another hour of What's on Your Mind, live and direct from the Heritage Foundation, Washington, D.C. today on the program. Our final hour of our broadcast from Washington, heading back into the studio and back for North Dakota later today, as a matter of fact. So, you know, fun to go once in a while, but always nice to come home, and I'm looking forward to it very much. Senator John Hovind will join us in just a little bit here at the bottom of the hour. He is fighting the battle on the Keystone XL pipeline. A lot of you are weighing in and want that fight to continue. So we'll chat about that coming up in a little bit as well. Our friend Stephen Moore, chief economist from the Heritage Foundation and someone you read regularly in the Wall Street Journal and see on Fox News Channel, is stopping by. Good to see you, Steve. How are you?
Mr. Hennin, great to be with you. Welcome to the Den of Inequity in Washington, D.C.
Yes, always fun to come. I called it the Sea of Insanity, is what I call it.
Yeah, right. We call it the sanity-free zone, so same thing.
So what's on your mind?
Don't drink the water while you're here.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to ask you the same. I mean, obviously, I've been writing a lot about the energy revolution, and obviously, this big decline in the price of oil has really hit, you know, energy-producing states like North Dakota. I think, by the way, this is the fruit of, you know, my kind of line on this is that the reduction in oil prices is not a result of what OPEC is doing or the Saudis are doing. It's a result of the fact that America has become the number one oil and gas producer in the world. It's a great story. And it's thanks to states like North Dakota and Texas and Oklahoma and Alaska that we are now an energy powerhouse like we've never been before. I view this reduction in gas prices at the pump as a huge stimulus to the American economy. And this is, I calculated the other day that American consumers are saving over $100 billion a year. That's billion with a B. Because of, you know, the fact that the price of gas has fallen from $3.25 to about $2.25 a gallon. So this is very good news for consumers. I do think that the oil price is going to stabilize somewhere between, you know, $55 and $75 a barrel. That's, I think, going to be the new normal. So I don't see oil price, unless there's a big blow up in the Middle East, going back to $100. But look, you tell me. I think that the shale oil and gas producers out there in North Dakota can make money even if the price is $60. For $70 a barrel. Am I right?
Well, it's one of the things you hear from the industry now is that they're using this opportunity to get everybody to be more efficient.
Right.
You know,
right. Well, that's what competition does. That's what our pricing system does. You know, some of the marginal producers who are, you know, have higher costs may drop out of the market. But, you know, the whole history of whatever industry it is, whether it's computers or agriculture, is the prices will fall over time. That's good for, you know, American consumers and American living standards. But the main point is I'm just disgusted by what's happened this week with this veto of the Keystone Pipeline. We need the infrastructure to make sure that this industry continues to prosper and continues to lead the world. And this president has no interest in helping in any way or even just standing out of the way of the fossil fuels industry.
I want to come back to that in a second, but something you said earlier, and that is the cause of this drop.
Yeah.
First of all, just the sheer timing of it. I mean, the rapid drop. I mean, it was just unprecedented, really. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, it's coming back at a pretty good pace too, as compared to percentage wise, other increases from past bottoms,
yeah.
Right? But you put this all on production, all on just that much output.
I would say most of it. I mean, look, the Saudis are increasing their production as well, but the question is, why are they doing that? Because they're feeling the threat of American production. And, you know, look, if the Saudis want to cut the price, you know, increase the spigots and keep driving the price down of oil, you know, I'm fine with that. I think that, you know, ultimately the United States is going to be the driver of the world price, not OPEC. And this is one of the great things about the fracking revolution that people don't understand, is that one of the impacts of this is that OPEC no longer has control of the world price of oil. You know, they don't. How can they when the biggest producer of the United States is not part of the cartel?
What excites me most is that, you know, we are getting about 4 to 5% of the shale out of the rock.
Right.
with today's technology.
A lot more.
So there's just, I mean, the vast amount of that resource.
So that's why when President Obama, you know, just recently as a couple of years ago, was running around the country saying, you know, we're running out of oil and gas. I mean, we're not running out of it. We're running into it, you know. And, you know, this is the other thing I want to say, because I know this is a North Dakota mostly audience, is that this is a real tribute to American ingenuity and our technological prowess and our, you know, the people who did this, who really created this shale oil and gas industry, were not the big major oil companies like Chevron and Texaco and Exxon. They were the wildcatters who went out there and found a way to do this. And it's a perfect example of America leading the way in the world of new frontiers of product development.
It's a bunch of Henry Fords.
It is.
Building
yep,
a whole new industry.
Yeah,
a whole new technology.
It.
Greg and Bismarck got a comment on the pipeline. Go ahead, Greg. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Yes, I was listening to a program once that said Warren Buffett makes $1 million a day off the rail shipping that oil, and he gives a million or gives a lot of money to the Democratic Party so they won't pass this pipeline bill. And I'm wondering if there's anything to that.
So I was having a little problem hearing.
And I've heard this from others. He's saying Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, owned the railroad.
Yeah. Oh, he's all right about this.
Obviously, the incentive is to have less pipelines. So it's no coincidence that one of his biggest supporters.
You think? Yeah. No. Exactly. I mean, the Buffett is.
You connect those dots?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Look. I think that there's no question about it. That Berkshire Hathaway does run a lot of the railways. And by the way, let me make this point. The president said this is not environmentally the right thing to do. He's completely wrong. Pipelines are extremely environmentally sensitive. How else? Look, if you're not going to transport the oil and gas by pipelines, you're going to have to transport it by rail and truck.
One's going to have a bigger impact on the planet?
There's no question about it.
Well, he's been all over the map on his reasoning.
But the point here is that President Obama isn't against the pipeline because of the environmental sensitivities. He's against this because he just doesn't want America, drilling for oil and gas, and he doesn't want us mining for coal. And by the way, those are the three areas where we get the vast majority of our energy.
Yeah. He's beholden to a very extreme environmental.
Extreme is to put it lightly.
Yeah.
I mean, these are radicals who are against industrialization. They're against progress. They're against capitalism. And these people, I view the radical green movement as the most dangerous move in America today.
By the way, they're even making their way into the dietary guidelines now. Did you see that? The meat is being proposed to be removed from the dietary guidelines of 2015 because of the environmental impact from it.
You mean for climate change?
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
The guidelines are telling the military what they can eat and what schools should teach.
Cows emit more greenhouse gases than the oil.
Well, they're coming for cows.
Yeah.
Jim in Watford City, North Dakota. There's a place you got to go, Steve. Watford City, North Dakota.
Never been there.
Epicenter of the oil boom. Go ahead, Jim. You're up with Stephen Moore of the Wall Street Journal and the Heritage Foundation.
I have a question about the pipeline. Why do we want the pipeline? How much of this North Dakota and our oil is it going to move? Is it going to move Canadian oil, or is it going to move our oil?
It's going to move a lot of Canadian oil, and it's going to move a lot of our oil. And, you know, why not? Well, I want North America, Canada, U.S., and Mexico to be an entirely energy-independent zone. And look, Canada is our neighbor, and we make money when they transport that oil through the United States. So I don't see any problem with that. I think, you know, one of the cool things that we could be doing is we as a continent can now start exporting this stuff rather than importing it. And think about what that does for the economy of the North American continent. It means that we will get rich off of this stuff.
All right, I want to ask you a really dumb question right now. One of the reasons we have the issues we have now with the price of oil and the impact on the energy industry, and this great momentum has stalled right now, is because we are in a world market, right? And and the Saudis did play a role in addition to our increasing production. Would it ever be possible to have a North American crude benchmark price?
No, because it's globally traded.
So there's no way.
So, but the point is, that if we can export this rather than import it.
Which we can't do, by the way, right now.
Right. We have to change the the law on that. We have
a dumb, archaic,
stupid. It goes back to the early 70s. Yeah. It's a perfect example of why we should have statute of limitations on laws. I mean, really, seriously. Every law should be in effect for 10 or 15 years and then should have to be reauthorized because no one would ever come up with this thing. But the point is that, you know, we now still spend $250 to $300 billion a year importing oil. Think of what that does for our economy. Rather than buying it, we can sell it.
Jim in Watford City, you had something else you wanted to say?
Yeah. I was told that they're only going to take about 10% of our U.S. oil and that most of it is going to come from Canada. And it is a tar sands oil, which is very toxic pollutant. And they don't even want it running across theirs. They could run a different route and run it to the west. But they want to come through the United States. Do you know? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, you're right. Look, the point is that if we don't build the pipeline and it's not, distributed to our refineries, it's going to be sent to Japan. I mean, the oil is going to be produced. It's a question of whether we benefit from it or whether, Japan and China and those nations do. So I don't see any argument against, it's like saying we shouldn't truck goods and services from Canada, through the United States. I mean, why not?
The number, by the way, is 100,000 barrels a day of Bakken crude that would go on. So it is a smaller percentage of Bakken crude, but still there's some Bakken crude, and it's another way to get to
market. And I would simply add that, as we produce more energy, we're going to need those kinds of pipelines, even if right now it's for the Canada shale oil up there.
Thanks, Jim. Ron and Kilder, when we come back with Steve Moore from Washington, D.C. and the Heritage Foundation. Don't go away.
Louis L'Amour once said, quote, "We who pass do not own this land, but we will use it. We will hold it briefly in trust for those yet to come. We must not reap without seeding. We must not take from the earth without replacing," unquote. The Northwest Landowners Association understands the importance of industry in North Dakota. Still, we want the land protected and the owners respected. Go to nwlandowners.com. Northwest Landowners was established to maintain a balance in resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com for more information. That's nwlandowners.com. NWLandowners.com.
I'm Monsignor James Shea, President of the University of Mary in Bismarck. By offering 3 full semesters per year, the University of Mary gives you the option to get your bachelor's degree in 2.6 years. We call it year-round campus. And because you graduate sooner, you spend less, save more, and get a head start on your career. Less time, less cost, less debt. Come see how the University of Mary is proving that less can be more with our new year-round campus. Schedule a visit at yearroundcampus.com, yearroundcampus.com.
February is the month of love, and everyone at the Hampton Inn of Dickinson wants to show a little love to Dickinson's teachers. They invest in our children every day, teaching more than just school subjects. Dickinson's teachers help their students learn life skills, work ethic, and respect for others. And the employees and owners of the Hampton Inn in Dickinson offer their sincere thanks. Guests enjoy a free hot breakfast, clean fresh bed, and high-speed Wi-Fi. The Hampton Inn of Dickinson, located off I-94 and minutes from the Badlands and Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
What's on Your Mind? 20 past the hour, Senator John Hovind will join us at the bottom of the hour, continuing our conversation with the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation. Our friend Steve Moore is here. Any questions or comments, welcome for him at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Ron in Kildare has a question for you. Steve, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, Mr. Moore, I've been listening to you for quite a while, and most of what you say I agree with, particularly on the pipeline. However, I think an area where we may disagree is taxes. And I'm a W-2 guy, and I get the impression from you that any tax cut you can get for business is good. Well, the comment I would have to make is I'm getting buried out here in taxes, federal taxes, state taxes, property taxes. And as a business person, don't you understand if the guy that walks through the door don't have a few bucks in his pocket, you're not going to be able to sell your product?
What do you do for a living, sir?
I work out here in the Bach, and I work for a utility.
Good. Well, look, I think here's the point that, look, if you look at our business taxes right now, they're very high. Now, do I want to cut the business tax rates, you know, to help business? Well, partly, but I want to do this to help workers, you know, because when you take more money out of the businesses, they have less money to hire workers and to pay higher salaries. You know, you saw what happened this week with Walmart. They raised their wage rate. They didn't do that because of the minimum wage. They did it because of the market. And they needed more workers, and that bids up the price that workers can charge, and wages go up. And I want America to be the highest wage country in the world. I want American workers to be the highest paid in the industrialized world. The way to do that is help businesses. And the only thing I would say, and I agree with, you know, 90% of what you just said, you know, we have to stop treating businesses in Washington, D.C. as if somehow they are villains. I mean, businesses are what create jobs. Remember when Hillary said a few weeks ago that businesses and corporations don't create jobs? I was like, well, then who does create jobs? Government?
Well, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and I think our business taxes should be lowered. The problem that I have with the tax code is the deductions that businesses get.
I agree with you. I totally agree. What I would do is cut that rate, you know, so we don't have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. But I agree with you. Get rid of the loopholes. You know, some of these companies pay nothing.
That's something that Paul Ryan's working on.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah. You know, so I think you and I agree more than you think. I want to make it a fair system that every company and every individual is paying their fair share. You know, how long have we known each other? At least 15 years. I've always been for a system that gets rid of all of the deductions and carve-outs and special interest loopholes in the tax code. Those are highly inefficient, they're ineffective, and they force people like you to pay more taxes.
Ron, appreciate the call. Thank you. Brenda, Northern North Dakota, question or comment for Steve Moore, live from the Heritage Foundation today on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, a week and a half ago, I heard on a Canadian radio station, they don't really care whether or not at this point, whether we pass it or not for the Keystone Pipeline, because there's already plans being made that they're going to build it from the oil sands across the eastern part of Canada to the coast.
That's the problem, you know, so we don't benefit at all from that, right? So the greenhouse gas people and the climate change people, oh my God, you know, this is going to destroy the planet. You know, it doesn't matter whether we build the pipeline or not. They're not going to stop producing the oil. It's a question of whether it comes to the United States, we make some money off of it, or whether it goes straight, as you just said, to China and Japan and Australia and countries like that.
We've been asking our listeners today on our Facebook page about, you know, is it time to give up or you just keep fighting?
No,
most people want to keep fighting.
I hope nobody said wave the white flag of surrender. This is an 80-20 issue.
Even
this
USA
is about
today.
Jobs.
Even
this
USA
is about
today.
Energy security. This is about doing the right thing for the environment. There is no rational argument for not building this pipeline. And there's 15,000 Americans who could be, you know, earning $80,000 a year thanks to this pipeline.
Well, it's also just more than anything, even just the fundamental reasons for building it and what you've described today. An argument for pure principle. I mean, this thing has been held up longer than the Manhattan Project for pure politics.
And I would say this, that, you know, the president keeps talking about infrastructure. We need to remember infrastructure. This is an infrastructure project that does not cost the American taxpayers a penny.
Yeah.
It's gonna reduce the budget deficit.
It's shovel ready.
This one really is.
Let's go to, is it Waco and Bismarck? Is that, am I saying your name right there?
Waco.
Go ahead, Waco, for Steve Moore.
I got a question. How about more refineries being built in North Dakota to keep our workers here.
I couldn't quite hear the question.
He's saying more refineries.
Yeah,
and others have said that as well. He's saying specifically in North Dakota.
Sure.
The first refinery built in North Dakota since 1976, I'm sorry, in the U.S. in 1976, is now operating in North Dakota. But it's a micro refinery. It's diesel. And they're doing diesel because, obviously, the amount of truck traffic there.
Yeah, sure.
What he suggested others have as well, to say, build the refineries here. Now, the problem is then you have to ship, obviously, the feedstock the product. You know, quite a distance to the markets.
Well, I don't know the specific situation about North Dakota, but I'll say this. We need a lot more refineries in this country, because now we actually have to ship some of this oil and gas abroad to have it refined at lower, you know, cost abroad and then bring it back to the United States. It makes no sense. So, yeah, we need more refineries. We need to get rid of the export ban, and we need to build pipelines all over the country.
Another issue on refineries, because of, you know, for so long, a lack of the sweet crude, a lot of the refineries were built to handle the, tar sands.
That's a good point.
And the tougher stuff. So
yep.
A lot of these, you know, the refineries don't exist in the numbers necessary to refine sweet crude.
The other thing we need is LNG terminals. You know, we need to be able to liquefy the natural gas, and then that allows us to export it. And, you know, you've got a lot of gas and North Dakota, as I understand.
So we got the diesel refineries for you, but I hear you on gas refineries. Appreciate the call. Steve, I only have a minute or so left,
yeah.
But how long is it going to take to dig out of the Obama economy?
Economy's been picking up a little bit now, thanks in part to this energy revolution, but we're $2 trillion behind where we should be. American workers haven't gotten a raise in 10 years. It's a dismal economy. When the president runs around the country with this icky shuffle in the end zone, as if somehow he's rescued the economy, most Americans wonder what a country he's talking about. Now, North Dakota has done very well over the last 6 years, but most states are really struggling. And this is that the Republicans' message has to be, we're gonna raise the wages of working class Americans by creating really good paying jobs in energy and manufacturing and all of the technology to give America the kind of boom we had in the 1980s and 1990s. And we can do that.
Reagan-esque tax reform?
Absolutely. You know, got to fix the tax system. We got to get EPA out of the way. We've got to do stuff about the regulatory cliff that Obama has created. And the last thing I would add is, you know, let's really reform these entitlements. And for every welfare program, I believe there should be a work requirement. So we're going to help people who want to help themselves, but you've got to work to get these benefits, whether it's food stamps or unemployment benefits or, you know, basic cash welfare. We should require people to work for benefits. It's good for them and it's good for the taxpayer.
Half a minute left. Any advice for our North Dakota legislature that's meeting right now?
You know what my advice is. This one, if I don't hit this out of the park, North Dakota has got to become the 10th state in the United States that has no income tax. And if you do that, you think your economy is growing fast now, wait until you become an income tax-free zone.
Personal, corporate, the works?
Both.
Both. Yeah. Make the change.
You can do it. I mean, you've got enough money from you know, your sales taxes and your energy that there's no reason Texas cannot join states like Texas and Wyoming and Alaska. No income tax in North Dakota. I say it every time I'm on your show. I'm going to say it over and over again. No income tax in North Dakota.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you.
See you later.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. It's built in ferro rod, strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalMatch.com. That's FreeSurvivalMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalMatch.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Just wrap up with Steve Moore of the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, Steve Moore's been to North Dakota. He is he loves North Dakota. He loves what's going on in North Dakota. So it's always fun to catch up with him because he's bully for North Dakota for sure. But you heard the fight he had on this Keystone XL pipeline battle and how important it is. I'm hearing it from our listeners as well for the most part. A lot of folks on Facebook and elsewhere saying, do not give up. Do not give an inch. As Steve said, this is an 80-20 issue. Well, the guy that's in charge of the fight and has been battling all the way, our own Senator John Hovind, joins us on our Newsmaker line. Senator, how are you doing today?
Hey, Scott. Good to be with you, and greetings to your listeners.
Just a few steps away over at the Heritage Foundation today, but told our listeners yesterday we had a chance to visit with you yesterday as broadcasters. And amidst a very busy day, it's a busy time on a couple of fronts, both issues we're going to tackle today on this DHS funding issue, but also the Keystone XL pipeline. I think I asked you shortly after the legislation passed if you thought there was any chance the president would not veto it, and you said no, he'll veto it. So yesterday wasn't a surprise, right?
Not a bit. I think it's remarkable. You know, we delivered the bill to him, had the enrollment clerk take the bill to him yesterday morning. And he had the veto back to the Senate yesterday afternoon. Matter of fact, I had a copy on my desk just a few hours after we sent him the legislation. So it's remarkable that it takes him more than 6 years to make a decision, and he still hasn't made a decision on the project, but he was able to figure out that he was going to veto it and get it done in a couple hours. Remarkable.
Yeah, it absolutely is. A lot of our listeners are saying, you know what, take it to the floor, count heads, you know, continue to push, override the veto. Here's Dan. Let's see if the Democrats are true to their word and work across the aisle as they said they want to do. I doubt they will. If not, Republicans need to suspend the rules, pull a Harry Reid, and pass legislation until they run out of paper. Let the president veto away. We will then see. He will then be seen as a do-nothing president and return to the golf course, says Dan.
Scott, I'm glad to hear that people calling in are saying, you know, stick with it. That's really good to hear, because that's exactly what we're going to do. Next week, we'll bring it back for a vote to see if we can override the veto. We're at 63 votes for it in the Senate. We need to pick up four more. We need to get to 67. Obviously, that's going to be tough to do, but if we aren't successful there next week, then what we'll do is we'll attach it to another bill. And you know, one of the things we need to do this year is a 6-year highway bill. We need to get a 6-year highway bill done, and I think that's one where I think we could attach it to that bill, and that's something I would try to do. And I think, you know, he would not veto it. So, I even if we can't override the veto, I think we can attach it to something he won't veto.
Well, on the veto override effort, as you say, there will be enormous pressure, right? So, I mean, in other words, if you were going to get him, you'd have got him. What would be the incentive to now have somebody that wouldn't vote with you before vote with you now?
Right. And that's why it is going to be tough to do. Scott, and that's exactly right. But it's about putting people on record. Are you going to stand with the American people who, overwhelmingly support this project? Because it is about energy security for our country, producing more energy here at home, working with Canada to make sure we're energy secure and that we don't have to get our energy from OPEC or Venezuela or Russia. And when you see what's going on overseas, you know, that's something Americans want. They want that energy security as well as the jobs and the economic growth that goes with it. And so, you know, this is about making sure people understand, you know, what we're trying to do in terms of growing our economy and making our country stronger and safer versus, you know, what the president's doing, which is frankly just responding to some special interest groups.
So whose job is it to try and get more votes on the Democratic side? I see Joe Manchin, Claire McCaskill, Heidi Heitkamp, Senator Casey are all on board voting for Obama's veto. Are they more likely to get other Democrats to come along?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we've got 9 Democrats. Obviously, anything they can do to help would be great. Obviously, I work across the aisle, and, you know, I've worked hard to get 9 Democrats. I'll see if I can get more, but it's going to be tough. You know, kind of an aside, Scott, yesterday I noticed that a lot of the Hollywood movie stars were sending out, signed on to a letter, Julianne Moore and Alec Baldwin and Robert Redford, were signing a letter, sent it to the president, told him to veto it. So ironically, you know, here the president vetoes something the American people very much want. It's good for a country. But then you've got Hollywood and OPEC. Who are probably very happy about his veto. I mean, that's just not the way things should be done for our country.
Well, when you hear from those Hollywood voices, you know this is all about a very radical, extreme environmental, wing that he's obviously having to pander to. I mean,
yeah, hardly a cross-section of America, right?
Right. So, I would think that'd help your efforts on the recruitment on the Democratic side, because that's not exactly a politically popular group with the general electorate anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you something when everybody from the labor unions across this country, to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, to the people in poll after poll, 65% to 70%, they want this done for the good of the country. And then, you know, you've got movie stars and OPEC that come out and say, oh, this is great. I mean, come on.
All right, so you try on the override. If that doesn't happen, then your suggestion is the highway bill would be something you'd attach it to. When is that up? When would that happen?
Well, you know, we're already starting work on it and really pushing on it. I was on the last conference committee on the highway bill. I tried to include it then. We weren't able to. But now that I think with a Republican majority in the Senate, I'm hopeful we will be able to include it this go-around. As I say, we're already starting work on a highway bill. We need a long-term highway bill. We need to get it done this year. I think we can do a 6-year highway bill. And that's this is infrastructure. This is about energy infrastructure. Having the right mix of pipeline, rail, and roads to move energy as cost-effectively and safely as possible. That's what a highway bill is all about, roads and bridges and infrastructure. And that's a good fit, and I think that's a very good candidate. There'll be others too, but that's one I think will get done this year. And so I think that's one where I'm already focused on, and there may be some others too.
We have just one segment with Senator Hovind today, so questions or comments in now. If you have a question or comment for him, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Let me ask you about this battle over Department of Homeland Security funding. One thing we've heard from our listeners over and over is that they want a battle. They want, the message of the last election in the eyes of a lot of voters was stop Obama. And one area was certainly this, act of the pen on immigration and on amnesty. And I know the way that was selected towards the 11th hour of the last Congress was to say, okay, let's do a short-term funding on the Department of Homeland Security and let's get them. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell is splitting the Department of Homeland Security and allowing votes to be separate, which, of course, takes away some leverage. A lot of folks don't like that. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I have concerns about it. Look, I think that the best approach is what we put on the floor originally. That's the House bill. That includes preventing funding for the president's executive order, which is clearly an overreach, as well as full funding for the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, what's going on is our colleagues on the other side of the aisle are filibustering. They are filibustering our ability to get on the bill. And we have offered not only to get on the bill and have debate, but also to allow amendments. We're saying, hey, we'll allow them. Bring your amendments. We'll have votes on them. We showed we can do that on Keystone. 250 amendments filed on Keystone, voted 41 roll call amendments. Some passed, some didn't. But that's the way to do it. And I am concerned about a separate bill approach. And frankly, you got to remember at the end of the day, whatever goes through the Senate, you know, is something that also has to be able to go through the House. And so, again, the president wants, you know, he's already issued 13 veto threats. You know, and here he's saying he has to have just exactly what he wants. What's going on? Where's the compromise? Where is there some willingness to work with Congress? And the people spoke loudly and clearly in the last election that they want this president to work with Congress to get important things done for the country.
Would it be the end of the world if DHS shut down as a result of this?
Well, one thing people do need to understand, look, we're trying to fund, number one, we are trying to fund DHS and we're being filibustered. The other important thing to understand, though, is that all the essential employees stay on duty. So out of the roughly 230,000 employees at DHS, 200,000 approximately stay on the job. So all essential personnel stay on the job.
All right, let's see. Call from Greg in Alexandria, Minnesota. Greg, what's your question for Senator John Hope?
Well, not really a question. I just got some suggestions or some ideas. Is there a way to guarantee that parts of the oil that goes through this Keystone pipeline be used in the United States?
Yeah, actually.
And, okay. And my other thought was to question the EPA would be to say that this oil is going to be cleaner through processing oils in the United States than it is going to be in China. I mean, there's going to be less pollution from refineries here and stateside than it is going to be overseas.
Right. No, right on, Greg. I mean, really on both, you know, two good points. On your second point, you're right. And on the first point, actually, remember, we use 18 million barrels of oil a day. We produce 3 million barrels, excuse me. We use 18 million barrels a day. We produce 11 million barrels in the United States, and we import about 3 million barrels a day from Canada. So that's 14 million that we produce here or get from Canada. That means we're still importing 4 million barrels a day from other places. 2 million of that right now comes from OPEC. We get oil from Venezuela. We even get oil from Russia. So the point is we need more oil, and this oil can't actually be exported unless the Department of Commerce approves that it be exported, which is, you know, is essentially the same for the oil we produce here at home. So, you know, this oil will be used here domestically. I can't say every bit of it because we refine it into different products, and some of that does get exported. But clearly, we need more oil, and the question is, are we going to get it from Canada, or do you want to keep getting it from OPEC? Well, I guess the president wants to keep getting it from OPEC.
Greg, appreciate the call. Barry, real quickly with your question, if you would. We have less than a minute left here, so.
Say, I hope he stays strong on this DHS deal. They don't need to split it up. And I don't care if I have to work without pay for a while. And I just wish for once that they would listen to what this Constitution says, the law, and they let us enforce the law. We wouldn't need any new laws.
You know, that's remarkable because it sounds like you work with DHS. And I agree with you. I'm very concerned about the president's overreach here. And so it is about Congress and the courts, you know, standing up to the president at the same time that we're trying to fund DHS. So thanks for your call.
Last quick question. There's been some talk that the Mall of America threat was hyped to basically, you know, get some pressure on this debate. Do you believe that happened?
You know, I just have to say that I'm doing everything I can to make sure that we fund DHS, but do it in a way that also prevents this president from the overreach, and that I want to do everything I can to keep our country safe. And I'm going to leave it at that, Scott. You know, I understand your question, but I'm just doing everything I can to make sure we get things done.
That one certainly brought it a little bit home, though. Interesting. We spent a little time on that yesterday. Senator, thanks for the time. I know you got a busy schedule with a lot going on this week. Appreciate catching up with you in D.C., and thanks for the time today.
Good to visit, Scott. Thank you.
Final segment for your calls, questions, and comments coming up next.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
We are often asked what the difference is between the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. The council and the association are two different organizations with one focus, to ensure the success of North Dakota soybean farmers. Both groups serve this purpose in different ways. The Soybean Council collects and invests soybean checkoff dollars in such areas as production research, producer education, and programs designed to increase demand and expand markets for soybeans and soy products. The Soybean Growers Association is a statewide, member-driven organization that focuses on state and national policy issues, which by law the checkoff cannot do. They conduct legislative activities in Bismarck and Washington to improve the profitability of their members and the entire soybean industry. For more information, visit our website at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Final segment, live from Washington, D.C. today. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. We've taken a lot of calls today, so we have not got to everybody that tried to get in. So we have a couple that called in and left a message, which we always love. We're going to play those in just a moment here. and welcome any others. Last chance to weigh in, 800-228-0550. Brought to you in part today by MyPillow.com. What's the most important thing to your health? Your sleep. All right, so how do you get a better night's sleep? A better pillow. MyPillow. Two for one. 50% off. If you call 800-506-9028, or if you use promo code SCOTT when you go to MyPillow.com, then you'll have the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and whether you sleep on your back, your side, your stomach, whatever, it adjusts to you and how you sleep. It's non-allergenic, it stays cool, so you're not flipping the pillow around saying, oh, this thing's like a furnace. Has a 10-year warranty, 69 money-back guarantee. The thing is great, trust me. I sleep on one and I love it. 800-506-9028, MyPillow.com, promo code SCOTT. All right. Go ahead and let's roll some of these calls that are waiting to weigh in here on What's on Your Mind.
Yes, my comment is that before you talk about the speed limit through Washburn being kind of a speed trap, a revenue raiser, you should probably check your archives. You'll find out that a carload of kids were wiped out trying to cross 83 in Washburn, and that's why the speed limit was dropped. Thank you.
All right, well, maybe that's an argument for our other discussion in Ray. And I was only joking about that. I wasn't serious, but there's just such a dramatic change in a number of those communities that you wondered. But, you know, there you go. I guess that's an argument for exactly what we were advocating on Highway 2. Maybe it's time to take a look at the speeds there. So, point well taken. Thank you very much. Another?
Yeah, hi, Scott and Todd. On that really sad accident, this is Ronnie near Tappan. I drive the Highway 94 in Minnesota quite a bit and Highway 2 and been up on 83 plenty up to Minot and 94 through North Dakota. But I agree the one of the callers mentioned barriers. I think it has to be emphasized. But they're doing a lot of these cable barriers in Minnesota up on Highway 2. And down near the cities, Alexandria area, I think they're starting – there on 94, and they totally stop, I'd say, 99% of these crossover collisions. They really, really do work well. I personally have seen cars in those things in the wintertime that are trapped by the cable there, so I know they stop them, and they do rip up the cars that might go through otherwise, but you don't have these collision, head-on collisions there. And the other thing is the seat belts for cars that go off on their own side or rollovers. I watch statistics pretty carefully on that issue, and I'd say a far too high percentage of these fatalities and rollovers are due to people not being belted in. And if they don't get thrown out, if they don't get killed, they might get, you know, maimed for life, because most of the times they get rolled over on, and, you know, that will have serious injuries that way, too. So those are probably the two biggest issues or factors, I think, that would really change it. It's terrible statistics on these incidents. So hope we see fewer of them and hope somebody can do something that'll help out here. Have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate the call. That's why we started this conversation a couple hours ago. What can we do? I think the answer is do something. And there's been some good suggestions today. We're going to ask the folks from the DOT about a few of them, including yours. Appreciate the call. Here is another.
Yeah, this is Larry in Fargo. And I don't believe that these accidents with the trains are an accident. What we have is an antiquated railroad system that doesn't want to put any money in their technology to prevent these things. And I'm sure the oil industry, with the combination of the railroads, could design a tanker that would be absolutely safe. But like I said, the almighty dollar takes care of that. Thank you.
I just don't buy that. I really don't. I don't think there's an incentive to not be safe because of the cost, because of the impacts. I really don't. technology is controversial, especially in the train world. There's something called ATC, Automatic Train Control, where they can control speeds in the trains from a central location, and the unions have largely stopped that. So that part of it, I would agree with you. Jeremy says, no way can I accept the comment that nobody's at fault and there's nothing we can do. The oil boom brought this issue. The industrial mecca of the world is not the place to raise kids, period. At what point do we realize a factory is not the place to safely raise kids? One or the other has to go. If oil is your priority, then you better raise the driving age in that region and not have kids. Kids are not expected to do something they are not ready to step into. Also, why do we have to go to the extreme and press to get as much oil moved as quickly as possible? There's a happy medium that we surpassed a long time ago. I feel everyone pushed us to go this far and did not see the repercussions. They are responsible. All right, Jeremy. All opinions welcome here on What's On Your Mind. Thank you very much, Congressman Kevin Cramer, in the Talk Radio Town Hall tomorrow on the program. God bless you all and all. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. And remember, you can call us 24-7 at 855-200-1776.
North Dakota and Minnesota's leading steel building contractor is Evercourt Building Systems. Jesse Everett, the owner, is on the phone with us. Jesse, I need a shop, an office, and a warehouse all in one. Can you take care of me?
Absolutely.
How long does the design process take?
3 weeks, and you've got your blueprints.
How long is delivery going to take?
We guarantee delivery in 4 weeks.
And when am I moving in?
We're going to have that building built in 90 days.
Tell me about the quality. What goes into an Evercourt building?
All North American-made steel. We tend to put big foundations under them that are engineered by local engineers that understand the conditions, and we tend to overdo it.
How do you price this so I get the best bang for my buck, Jesse?
We use 39 plants across the U.S. That's factory direct, which means you get the best price.
Jesse, you sold me. How do I reach you to talk about my next building project?
Just call me, 612-282-9922.
Or online at evercourtbuildingsystems.com. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins. But did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House. The gold standard and long-term storage products. Or get the freeze-dry guys no bake casserole unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.